Matthew chapter number 1, and we've been looking in verses 18 through 25 the last couple of weeks on the thought, what the birth of Christ revealed or reveals to mankind. And we want to continue that thought this morning. Our text verse is actually going to be verse number 23 today. We've kind of dealt with some of the other verses, but this morning we want to deal with verse number 23, again, as we celebrate the wonderful birth of our Savior. If you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. All right, I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. If you're able to stand out of the reverence of the reading of the Word of God this morning, if you're not able to stand, then certainly that's okay. I'm going to read again verses 18 through 25, but again, our focus is on verse 23 this morning. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Again, hallelujah goes right there. Amen. I like that. Verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, again, our text verse today, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And we're going to try to deal with that thought here this morning. And then verse 24, then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we bow in your presence once again today, Lord, to thank you for another good day on this side of eternity. To thank you, Father, for your love and your grace and your mercy. Thank you again for the relationship and fellowship, Lord, that we have with you and, Lord, that we have with your people. And then again, just the privilege to be able to come on this Lord's Day and, Lord, to be able to hear the teaching of the Word of God, to hear the wonderful singing, to be able to pray together, to worship together, Lord, to fellowship together. But now, Lord, for your precious Word, Father, I thank you now for the living Word of God. And I pray now as your servant for just a few moments this morning as I stand in this place where no man can stand alone. I pray this morning that you will anoint me and touch me with fresh oil this morning, that, God, I might bring, Lord, the very message that's needed for this hour. And then I pray as the message of the Word of God goes out today, Lord, I pray that ears and hearts will be open and receptive, Father, to what you have for us here this morning. Thank you again for this time as we celebrate your coming to this world as a babe. But I realize that, Father, you fulfilled the mission that your Father gave you, and that was to go to the cross and lay down your life, that, Lord, we can know you today in a free pardon of sin. And again, Father, for those that can be here today, Lord, it's never trusted you as Savior. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would convict them and draw them. And Lord, this very day, Lord, they come and receive you. Lord, those that might be out of the will of God, Lord, cold, indifferent, Lord, whatever the need, that, Father, you'd meet with us. I pray that you'd help us. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. And then, Lord, as you move, I pray today that, Father, we'd be obedient, submissive, Lord, to your word and to your will. Father, I love you today. Lord, I love this people. And I pray now you'll touch me, Lord, as I try to preach what you placed upon my heart for this hour. And Lord, we'll give you honor, praise, and glory. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you again for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. For a few moments today, I want to continue the thought on what the birth of Christ revealed or even reveals even today to mankind. Again, as we reflect a little bit, and I'll make just a few comments about the other two thoughts that I've already given to you just as to refresh our hearts and our minds. And then I want to come and look at these thoughts out of verse number 23, God with us. Let us this morning never forget or take for granted the glorious event of the Savior's birth, and again, the things that it reveals unto mankind. We first discussed that it reveals revealed the fulfillment of God's prophecy concerning His birth. And we talked about His Word and certainly the importance of His Word, and that His Word is true, His Word is trustworthy, and His Word being a testimony or an evidence of God's commitment concerning salvation. And so as we think about the birth of Christ and certainly all the things that surround that and all the celebrations of His birth, let us not forget that the very reason that He came was to come so that He might go to the cross and be the sacrifice for my sin and your sin and the sin of the whole world. And I don't know about you today, but I'm thankful for that. I'm glad that He come and fulfilled the job that God, His Father, had given Him to do. So we find that it reveals the fulfillment of God's prophecy concerning His birth. That was the first message. Last week, we looked at the thought that it revealed or reveals the framework or the foundation of God's salvation plan, certainly being in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we probably say every time, and especially this time of year, friend, if you're trusting in anything other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're building your foundation or the framework of what you believe today and where you're going to spend eternity, if you place that upon anything other than the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, then, friend, that will fail. But I'm glad if you have your soul anchored in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and have trusted Him as your Savior, I'm glad it's good now. I'm glad it'll be good tomorrow, and I'm glad it'll be good for all eternity. I'm glad of that this morning. And so we see that His birth reveals the framework or the foundation of God's salvation plan within the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about that being three things: the Savior's conception, the Savior's coming, and the Savior's cause, and again, to save His people from their sins. And so I'm thankful for that this morning. The third thing that I want to look at today, within the context of our verses today, is simply this. It revealed or reveals God's faithful pursuit of mankind. God's faithful pursuit of mankind. I believe we said this last week, but let us refresh our memory one more time, that Jesus did not come to condemn us. He came to save us. And boy, I'm so thankful for that, because as we begin to think about the grand scheme of things, and we begin to search in the Scriptures, the Word of God and the heart of God, we see this morning, of course, that none of us deserve the grace that God has extended to each and every one of us here this morning. But again, I'm so thankful today for the grace and the love and the mercy of Almighty God. And we see this morning that it reveals God's faithful pursuit of mankind. I love those three words in the latter part of verse number 23, where the Bible says, Matthew here, God with us. Now you think about that this morning. God with us. Ever since God made man and placed him in the garden, God had a desire to want a fellowship with the fondest of His creation, and that being the human race. I stand amazed this morning when I think about just myself, that God would want to have a relationship and fellowship with me. Boy, I tell you, that ought to grab our hearts today. And I'll tell you what, we ought to thank Him and we ought to praise Him today that our Creator wants to have a relationship and fellowship with each and every one of us here this morning. I'll tell you what, that's something, that's a lot deeper thought than I can even begin to get into today or try to explain. But I'm glad I don't have to try to explain it all. He just wants you and I to accept that by faith this morning. And so it reveals God's faithful pursuit of mankind. God with us. I wrote this down this morning. God desires a faithful, friendly, fruitful relationship with you and me. I wrote hallelujah down there again. Why? Because I believe it ought to be there. God desires a faithful, friendly, fruitful relationship with each and every one of us here this morning, even though we're so undeserving of that relationship and that fellowship with our Creator, the Lord Jesus Christ, with God Himself. And so this morning, God is faithful in His pursuit of mankind in God with us. The Bible says in the book of Romans, chapter 3 and verse number 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. You say, well, preacher, why did you share those verses? Because I didn't come looking for God. God came looking for me. And boy, I'm so glad this morning that he did. Friend, you say, you may be here today and you may not be saved. And you come in this morning and maybe your family invited you in. Maybe a neighbor invited you in. Maybe you come with a family. Maybe mom and daddy made you come. I don't know this morning. But friend, I want to tell you what, even though that you might be here and you do not know Christ as Savior, you may not have come looking for God. But I've got good news for you today. I believe God's looking for you. I believe God is faithfully pursuing mankind today. He allowed his darling son, his only begotten son, to be born there in Bethlehem, there in a manger, there in the lowliest of conditions, lived out that perfect life, went to the cross, laid down his life, suffered and bled and died and rose again and ascended back to the Father, simply so that you and I could know this God, our Creator, as our personal Lord and Savior, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, you may not come in looking for nothing, but God came looking for you. God's searching you out. God's pursuing you. Hallelujah, this morning. Boy, I think back over my life and how God pursued after me. I wasn't looking for him, but I am so glad this morning that on Sunday morning, September the 27th, 1987, he'd already been looking for me. I'm telling you what, and I'm glad he didn't give up. I'm glad he kept pursuing. Why? Hallelujah, this morning, Emmanuel, God with us. He was desiring a relationship and fellowship with somebody like me. And on that morning, I stepped out by faith, made my way to Calvary, and forever that day, my life was changed. Why? Because God, thank God, desired to have a relationship and fellowship with somebody like me this morning. And somebody like you. I believe glory goes there. Hallelujah goes there. Because I wasn't deserving of it and you wasn't deserving of it. That's just how God is this morning. That's how much God thinks about you and God thinks about me. That's how God thinks about this world. Again, he didn't come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. I'm glad I'm part of that this morning. And I'm glad you can be if you don't know Christ as your Savior today. I want you to notice this morning it reveals God's faithful pursuit of mankind. Again, Romans chapter 3, none righteous, no, not one. That means none of us deserves it. But I'm glad, thank God, for God's faithful pursuit of mankind. I want to give you three things about this pursuit this morning. I'm going to try to let you go. First of all, as we think about God with us, I want you to first of all think about the holiness of God. The holiness of God. God's a holy God this morning. And when you begin to think about the holiness of God versus the sinfulness of man, but yet how God, even before the foundation of the world, we've talked about that, God the Father and God the Son, God the Holy Ghost had already made a salvation's plan, and that plan comes through, again, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how sinful man is, even in Jesus' day, how sinful man is in our day. But God is still desiring a relationship with mankind this morning, even in his holiness. I got a few verses of Scripture that I want to read this morning concerning the holiness of God. Now, it does not... If you look up the word holy in the Scriptures, or you look up holy in a concordance, your holiness, you'll find that there's so many references that I don't have time to deal with here this morning in the short time that I stand before you. But I want to tell you, I think one of the problems of our day is we've lost, people have lost a sense of the holiness of God. God's still holy. God was holy in the beginning. God's holy when his son was born. God was holy when he went to the cross. God was holy when he was resurrected. God is holy today. God will be holy tomorrow. God will be holy for all eternity today. God's a holy God this morning. And I'm afraid today that we've lost sense of that. I'll tell you what. Thank God this morning we need to be careful because he is a holy God. He is a holy God. But even in that, he desires that relationship and fellowship with you and I. That word holy as it's used so much throughout the scriptures, it means several different things, but let me give you a few. It means sacred. It means clean. It means pure. And it means separate. There's nobody like our God this morning. There's nobody as holy as our God today. And let us not lose sight of His holiness this morning. The book of Exodus in chapter 15 and verse number 11 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods?" Little G-O-D-S, if you will. Who is like the glorious, the glories in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonder? Isaiah chapter number 6 and verse number 3, speaking of the seraphims, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The earth is full of His glory." Hebrews chapter number 7 and verse number 26. "For such a high priest," speaking of the Lord Jesus, "for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." That's my Savior this morning. What are you saying, preacher? He's holy this morning, but yet He was willing to take on a robe of flesh, come to this world, be born in Bethlehem, and know all that I go through, know that all that you go through, yet without sin. I stand amazed at that fact this morning, that God thought so much of me, and God thought so much of you, and God thought so much of this world, that He allowed His Son to go what He went through, so that He could be God with us. Now think about His holiness. And there's so much could be said about His holiness this morning. And certainly, again, there's none like unto Him. Also, the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 1 and verse number 5. "But as He which hath called you is holy." Not only does the Bible teach us that we serve a holy God, but then the Bible also teaches us that if we know this holy God, then we ought to go out and live holy in our own lifestyle. Oh, preacher, I have you to know that I'm not perfect. Well, I'm not either, and there's none of us here that is. But, friend, there ought to be a desire in our hearts. If you truly, truly know God, the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, it ought to put a desire in your heart, a desire in your life to go out and do the very best you can with God's help to live holy, to live right, to live clean, to live pure, to live separated and consecrated before this world. I'm afraid we're living in a time where a lot of folk want to claim Christianity and want to claim that they're saved, but you really see no fruit coming forth from their life that shows any kind of separation, any kind of cleanness or pureness before God. Amen. We're living in a time where we just want to fit in. Amen. Well, let me give you this morning. Just in case you're wondering about it, God's people have never fit in. Let me say that one more time. God's people have never fit in to the world's clique and the world's system and the world's society. Amen. They never have, and let me give you something else. They never will. Oh, I begin to think about that. Oh, I'm saying this to you and I this morning. Lord, I know that You're holy today. I know that You're right. I know that You're just. And I know that I'm in this whole body of flesh this morning. And it fails and it comes short. But God, with Your help, I'm asking You to help me to live a life that's separated and consecrated and clean and pure as it can be for the glory of God this morning. If you can partake of the sins of the world and it doesn't bother you, if you can live any old way, talk any old way, do any old way this morning, then friend, there's something wrong with what you have and feel no conviction for it. I mean, people don't seem to be convicted about anything anymore. I'm glad I got something real enough in my soul today. Not that I'm not perfect. I'm nowhere near perfect today. But I'm glad I've got something in my soul today that lets me know when I get ready, before I even cross the line, before I even go there, I'm glad there's something deep down in my soul this morning that rings my bell and lets me know that I'm a child of the King, and I'm supposed to live different. I'm supposed to talk different. I'm supposed to act different. I'm supposed to treat people different. I'm telling you, being an old-time Christian this morning, I'd rather be that than anything I know. I'm glad I've got something this morning that's real. Hallelujah. There was a real baby born in Bethlehem. It's not a fairy tale. And he was just, hallelujah, he was just as holy in Bethlehem as he was at the age of 12 when he was there confounding the doctors and the lawyers and all the Pharisees. He was just as holy then. He was just as holy when he touched all the blinded eyes and all the lame and all the dumb that could speak and all that he done. He was holy then. He was holy when they marched him up Calvary's hill and he laid down his life. He was holy then. When he come forth from the grave, he was holy then. When he ascended back to the Father, he was holy then. And could I say this morning, he's still holy. He's still holy. He's still holy this morning. Amen. Just as Isaiah wrote about in the year that King Uzziah died, the seraphims flying around the throne of God cried, holy, holy, holy. 1 Peter 1:5. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Now, I want you to notice the wording of that verse. It's not a suggestion. Hello? He's not suggesting it. In a sense, he's commanding it. He's commanding it. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. The word holy, as it's used there in the Greek in the New Testament, means pure and consecrated or separated, just like it means from the Old Testament or even as you come into the New. There's a holiness of God today that we've lost sight of. God help us today to get back to that place that we could see and understand just a little bit of the holiness of God. It would change the way that we live our lives. Because not only is he holy, but he's called me. And he's called you, if you're a child of God today, to live holy. To live separated, consecrated before him and before others. But let me say this before I get to my next point. You'll never, never begin to live a separated, consecrated life till you first make your way to Calvary and let Jesus change your life. Right. We got to have his help. We can't do this thing on our own. And thank God, I'm glad we don't. God with us. That means he walks with me and he talks with me. And he lets me know that I am his own this morning. God not only came down and walked with those in his day, but I'm glad that he walks and talks with us today through the person of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God. So today, we think about God's faithful pursuit of mankind. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Are you getting that this morning? God with us. That's present tense, is it not? It was past tense, I understand that. He came and he was with them. But notice it says, with us. That's present tense. That means he desires, just as he desired a relationship with the folks of his day, he desires that relationship with you and I. That faithful, that friendly, that fruitful relationship. And I think about that. And I think about his holiness and why God would want to have a relationship and fellowship with me. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? But the great news about that is that he does so desire that. Well, preacher, can you prove it? Just read the text. He so desires to have a relationship with you. So what does the birth of Jesus Christ reveal to mankind or reveal or reveals to mankind? It reveals his faithful pursuit of mankind. First of all, we think about the holiness of God. Secondly, I want us to think about the heart of God. Even in his holiness this morning, there's none like unto him. But yet within the heart of God, there is a desire that mankind be saved. Now, I don't know about you, but again, that's mind-boggling to me. When I think about how people treat him, how they treated him then, at his birth, how they treated him throughout his life, throughout his ministry, and how they crucified him, but yet was able to look down at the crowd at the very crucifixion and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The same Jesus that was born in Bethlehem is the same one that looked at that crowd and said, Father, forgive them. And is the same one that when I was willing to confess and repent of my sin, I was willing to forgive me and cleanse me. That's within the heart of God this morning. That's what happens when you and I come into a relationship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that he changes us this morning. The heart of God today, as we said, is not to condemn us, but to save us. Friend, God is not wanting to condemn you to an eternal separation from him in a place called hell. That's not God's desire. God's desire is for you to be saved and to be saved even today. Notice some things about the heart of God this morning. The heart of God, 1 John 4:16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. That's not an attribute of God. That's who he is. You say, preacher, could he love somebody like me? That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not trying to tell you could he. I'm telling you that he does. That he does, that he does, that he does. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. God with us. It's not this morning about a church membership. Now, church membership's important. I believe if you really get saved, I believe that you ought to want to be a part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching fellowship in church, because that's what Jesus died for. He died for the church. He established the church. And if you have no desire to be a part of that, then friend, there's something wrong with what you have. But I'll tell you what, being a part of a member of a church don't save you. If mom and daddy were saved, that don't save you. Grandma and grandpa saved, that don't save you. Well, preacher, I give a little money, that don't save you. There's some things that you will do when you get saved, I believe that. But friend, the only way you can be saved is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone. There is no other way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So I see the holiness of God, of God's faithful pursuit of mankind, but I also see the heart of God. As I said, in this heart of God As I've already said this morning, he finds, first of all, let me give you three things about the heart of God. Number one, he finds us. What I mean by that, him finding us, he's the one that does the pursuing. As I've already said this morning, I didn't necessarily go that Sunday morning looking for him, but I'm glad he came looking for me. God sent his son there to be born in Bethlehem, to be born in that manger, to be Emmanuel, God with us, so that there would be a pursuit of mankind, so that the Savior was born, the Savior died, the Savior rose again, so that all of mankind could be saved this morning. You see, the decision's up to you. But first of all, within the heart of God, he finds us. He pursues us. Thank God for the convicting power of God that come to where I was at when I couldn't get to where he was. Anybody else thankful for that today? Amen. I feel like I'm losing you this morning. I'm afraid I lost you before I ever started. But I mean, are you really glad that God come looking for you? Amen. He come to pursue you out when you wasn't looking for him? Within the heart of God this morning, he finds us and comes to us where we're at, the condition that we're in, not to condemn us, but to save us. Amen. Hallelujah again goes right there. The heart of God this morning is to find us, to pursue after us, to, he said in the scriptures, he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Has there anybody in here ever been lost? Amen. Hallelujah. There was a day that I was lost and undone without God, but he came looking for me. Hallelujah. So I see in God's faithful pursuit of mankind, I see the holiness of God versus the sinfulness of man. And yet God, in the heart of God, he finds us. He pursues after us. Some of y'all, he found you in a kind of a rough place. He found some of you in a rough condition. But there's one thing about it. He found us all in a lost condition. That needed to be saved. So within the heart of God this morning, he finds us. Not only does he find us, but can I say secondly this morning, in the heart of God, not only does he find us, but he forgives us. Hallelujah goes right there again. He forgives us. Is it not amazing that God in his holiness, clean and pure, and his son that he sent to this world, never sinned one time, but yet was willing to forgive all my past, all my present. Maybe y'all get in with me, in me with this thing here after a while. I'm going to look at you like you look at me. Where is our heart this morning? In the very heart of God. He come to find me, to forgive me. Hallelujah. Thank God. My past is in the past. My past, hallelujah, thank God's under the blood of Calvary this morning. Not to be brought up against me anymore. The devil can't do one single thing about my past. I can't go back and change it. I can't go back and do anything about it. I'm just glad this morning that it's under the blood of Calvary this morning. He forgave me for my past. He forgives me for my present. Some of y'all come in here with some things in your heart this morning you probably shouldn't have come in here with. You know, I probably ought to dealt with them at home. Woo! You enjoyed it so much, so I'll just go ahead and preach a while. Some of you come in here this morning, some things in your heart and on your mind that you probably, I mean, you so knocked out of gear when you got here, you couldn't worship anyhow. I mean, you're so busy this morning fixing that chicken and that ham and all those things to get it here on time that you got knocked out of gear before you ever got here. Oh, I felt a touch right there. And then we're going to come in and say we're going to worship God. But you don't have to carry that stuff around. Right. Preacher, what must I do? Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. You know, there's sometimes things goes through my mind. I just have to say, Lord, forgive me. I don't even know where that come from. Yeah, I do. I know where it come from. That old sorry rascal. Old slewfoot himself. Trying to get me knocked out of gear. It's amazing how he tried to get you knocked out of gear before you get here, try to get you knocked out of gear when you get here, and try to really get you knocked out of gear before you leave here. So what must I do, preacher? Lord, forgive me. Well, preacher, would he forgive me? Well, according to 1 John 1:9, he will. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all, A-L-L, unrighteousness. So in the heart of God this morning, now that doesn't mean I go out and live like I want to. And come back and say, now Lord, you forgive me, and go right back out and do it again. You hadn't repented of it to start with. Right. Hey man, hallelujah, that's good preaching. Yeah. People just get sorry to get caught up with. There's a difference in getting caught up with and repentance. Godly repentance. I don't have time to preach all that this morning. But if we're sincere in our hearts to confess our sins, he's faithful and just. So he's forgiven me of my past sin, of my present sin, if I said, Lord, forgive me, and my future sin. Well, preacher, you said we ought to live clean and pure and consecrated. Yes, we should. But somewhere along the way, we're going to mess up. And in the heart of God, all God is asking me to do and you to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? For some reason, in the English language, some of the hardest words to speak from our lips and to really speak from our heart from is, I'm sorry. So in God's faithful pursuit of mankind this morning, we have the holiness of God. We have the heart of God. We find that God finds us. He pursues us. But then he forgives us if we're willing to ask him. Sin has just become commonplace anymore. Nothing's wrong anymore. Nothing's sin anymore. But friend, quite the contrary. That's not the teachings of the Word of God. Sin is still sin in the eyes of God. And sin still separates in that fellowship and relationship that I can have with him, God with us. Let me give you this verse of Scripture, and I got to move on. 1 Peter 3:9. He finds us, he forgives us. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm willing to turn from my sin and turn to you and walk with you. God with us this morning. You can't live the Christian. You say, preacher, I can't live this Christian life. Nope, you sure can't. On your own, you can't live it. But it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's Christ living in you and through you. And you and I yielding ourselves to him. See, I'm afraid we've come to the place that we don't really need him nohow. Or we don't think that we do. But could I say, friend, there's nothing farther from the truth. I need him and you need him. And this world needs him.
Amen.
So I see within the heart of God this morning that he finds us. I see that he forgives us. And then I see that he fellowships with us. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. To think about the holiness of God, and to think about how powerful that our God is, that my God would want a fellowship with somebody like me. Maybe I should ask this question this morning. How long has it been since just you and him had some sweet fellowship together? Well, preacher, you're talking just plumb out of your head. What did you have this morning? You're just talking plumb out of your head. No, I'm talking about the God of heaven this morning that sent his Son to be born in Bethlehem, to be born Emmanuel, God with us. God desires that faithful, friendly, fruitful fellowship with you and me. Is that not mind-boggling today? Our problem is, I'm afraid in the society that we live in, we want a Sunday morning God. The heck with it the rest of the time of the week. Amen, I'm still preaching. Y'all so excited about it anyhow, I'll just preach anyway. He's more than a Sunday morning God. Man, he's come into my life and he's changed me. And he's holy. And in his heart, he found me, he forgave me, and wants to fellowship with me. We should have the same kind of desire to fellowship with him. Man, he's our Savior. He's our God. How long has it been since you and him had just some alone time with just you and him to fellowship with God? Just driving down the road in your secret place or wherever it might be. Because we need that time with him. And to think about God desiring that time with me. And God desiring that time with you. What does the birth of Christ reveal or revealed or reveals to mankind? God's faithful pursuit of you and me. To find us, forgive us, and to have fellowship with us. God help us that we could take a little bit of time. We're so busy. Boy, especially this time of year. But just a fellowship with our Savior. I see God's holiness. I see God's heart. Thirdly, lastly, I'm done. I see God's home. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, if you can't get excited about anything else, could you get excited about going to heaven one day? Amen, Miss Wanda. I believe we ought to be able to get excited about that. Emmanuel, God with us. So in his holiness, we see his heart that he wants to save us and forgive us. But then he wants to do something else. He wants to take us home one day.
Amen.
This is not home. We're just passing through.
Amen. Right.
I've got a better place to go.
Amen.
See, today I walk by faith. I've never seen him. No, sir. All the way I can see him is through the Scriptures. But boy, he gives us a good picture, doesn't he?
Amen.
I've never saw him. I have felt him. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm not saved by feeling, but it feels good to be saved. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But one day I'll get to see him and be with him. It'll not only be God with us, it'll be us with God.
Amen.
Glory, hallelujah, preacher! Not only will it be God with us, but it will be us with God, hallelujah! Preacher, you ain't got nothing to back that up. I've got a whole book here. You got time? Jesus said to those disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would have told you." And he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, where I am, there ye may be also. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise His holy name. Holy, holy, holy. Thank God for the Savior this morning that came as a babe, died on a cross, rose again, ascended back to the Father, so that I, one day, when I leave this world and close my eyes in death here, or get raptured out, thank God will open them up. Thank God on the sandy shores. Thank God of that wonderful city called heaven this morning. Thank God where Jesus is the light of that city. I'm telling you this morning, thank God, not only is it God with us, it's going to be us with God. Hallelujah. The only problem to that this morning is you may not be ready. Well, preacher, I've been thinking about it. Well, I would say this morning, I wouldn't think about it too long. There's people in hell right now screaming.
Yeah.
In agony. Praying. A prayer that'll never be answered. Get me out of this place. Brother Jerry, those folks in hell this morning will be able to get out one time. And that'll be at the great white throne judgment, where they will turn around and be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says forever and forever and forever. And see, the thing about it is we choose. See, the thing that His birth reveals to us as mankind, His prophecy is true. He fulfilled it. It's good. It reveals the foundation and the framework of the salvation plan in His Son, the Lord Jesus. And it reveals God's faithful pursuit of men, women, boys, and girls all over this world, even today. So, friend, you have eternity waiting you somewhere. Preacher, I don't believe so. I don't have to worry about it. Oh, yeah. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. The choice is up to you. God's revealed everything He needs to reveal to us about His salvation plan through the person of His Son. But it's up to you what you do with it. Shall call His name Emmanuel, being interpreted, God with us. I'm amazed this morning that God won't have anything to do with somebody like me, because I think about His holiness. But then I think about His heart. You know what He's saying to all of us this morning? One day you get to come home and be with me. That is, if you will receive me. But if you reject Him, And friend, you'll spend eternity in a Christless eternity in torments and suffering. Don't have to be that way. Preacher, I just don't hear much about that anymore. It's sad, isn't it? People like the smoke and mirrors and lights and rock music. I'm afraid some of them laying their hopes on a false hope. Well, friend, if it ain't Jesus this morning, it's not even a hope at all. In closing today, would you allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart? It's more than just a holiday. It's more than just December the 25th. The days and weeks following December 25th, the most of it is forgotten. But I'm glad what Christ done for me can't be forgotten. The gift that I received in salvation, I'm glad it's good for now and it's good for all eternity. Is your faith this morning rooted and grounded into something that's going to get you out of this world to the next world? To that place called heaven. And do you have a relationship? See, it's more than about going to heaven. It's having a relationship with the Son of God. God with us. How's your heart today? Where do you stand? Where do you stand? As we stand to our feet all over the building, Brother Scotty. Father, I've tried to deliver the message you placed upon my heart. Lord, what a wonderful time of year it is as we do celebrate your birth, your coming to this world to be the greatest gift that's ever been given. But Lord, I do wonder today if, as you search our hearts, Lord, in this building today, and Lord, only you can search our hearts. You have to find us. You pursue us. And only you can forgive us. When it comes to that sin nature that we have and our sin which we have committed. I pray this morning that in the stillness of this service, that the Holy Spirit of God would allow each of us to search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anybody here today unsaved, Lord, they know without a shadow of a doubt down in their heart that they know things are not right between themselves and a holy God. I pray this morning that you might speak to them and Lord, draw them in this very day. Lord, draw them to Calvary and help them to receive the greatest gift that's ever been given. And then, Lord, there may be Christians here today, Lord, maybe they've allowed themselves to stray and maybe they've come in this morning with things in their heart and their life that, Lord, they know that you're not pleased with. And, Lord, they just need to come and confess it to you. Lord, I pray that they might do it. Lord, I commit this invitation to your hands. Lord, you do what we cannot do for ourselves. And I'm so thankful that you came to be God with us. God with us. Oh, I'm so glad that we don't have to go through this thing alone. I'm glad there is somebody that understands. And somebody that will never leave us and never forsake us. And I'm glad it's in the person of Jesus. Help us now, I pray. Use the invitation. And it's in Christ's name we do pray. Every head bowed, every